me. He says, no man takes my life from me. I lay down so that I can take it up again.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is the conclusion of Pastor Brian Grant's Easter message on three symbols of Easter that stand as irrefutable evidences that verify the hope of the Christian faith. Last week, we heard about the evidence of the empty cross and the evidence of the empty tomb. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant picks up his message and carries it through to its conclusion. Here again is Pastor Grant and three life-changing symbols of Easter.
The empty cross symbolizes to us that forgiveness is available to every single human being. Three Easters ago, I was speaking in Kingston, Jamaica. And in the message, I happened to mention that the previous time I was in Jamaica, I had given the, when I preached, a gentleman came forward and he told me right there in the aisle as I went to meet him. He says, you know, I'm a good man and I'm really on my way to shoot and kill some people because we had some killing this morning. And he said to me, what you preach, does this apply to a good man? Can God save me? And that day God saved him and changed him. He never went on his mission. So I was sharing that in this church. And lo and behold, there was another gunman. No, don't start thinking all of us Jamaicans are gunmen. We got a few though. So lo and behold, I found out later that day, there was another gunman at church. He was only there because it was Easter and his mom was on him so much. He said, okay, after all the shooting I'm doing all day long, I could at least come and please my mother. So he went to church that Sunday. But God spoke to his heart. And somehow the story I told about this other gunman that God saved struck him. And so he started to realize that God could save him too. That despite how bad he was, you see, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse every sinner. And my friend, you might be here and your life is messed up. You've done some stuff that not even your parents know what you have done. But I want you to know, no matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus is able to reach you and is able to cleanse you and is able to change you, because the empty cross is symbolizing for us Jesus has done everything necessary to save the vilest sinner who comes to him. And I'm going to ask you this morning to come to him. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin. The empty cross reminds us that forgiveness of sin is available to everyone. The empty cross. But secondly, the empty tomb. Look with me at John's Gospel chapter 20. John's Gospel chapter 20. Just verses 1 and 2. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. You know, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to die and would rise on the third day. This is an interesting study because somehow the disciples didn't get it, but some of the ungodly people, the Jewish rulers, they got it. That's a message for another time. So on the third day, when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away, she automatically assumed that they had stolen the body of Jesus. Somebody had stolen Jesus. But Jesus was neither stolen. Amen. He was not stolen because Jesus had raised himself from the dead.
You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 18, he had declared, "No man takes my life from me. What? I lay it down so I can take it again." In a real sense, you know, sometimes there's a big debate as to who killed Jesus. But in a real sense, yes, we killed him. The Jews killed him. The Romans killed him. I killed him. But in a real sense, Jesus said, "No man can take my life from me, because nobody can kill me, because all power is given unto me." He says, "No man takes my life from me. I lay down so that I can take it up again." And Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, he was put in that tomb, but without anybody's help, no angel came to help him. The Almighty God raised himself from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And my friend, anytime you may say, "Oh, I don't believe in Jesus," well, I want you to find somebody else who can raise himself from the dead. If you can find somebody else, you start believing in that person. But there ain't nobody like my Jesus. Amen. Amen. There ain't nobody like my Jesus. I'm glad the cross was empty, but I'm also glad the tomb was empty. Write this down. The empty tomb symbolizes that everlasting life is available to everyone. The empty cross symbolizes that forgiveness of sin is available to everyone. The empty tomb symbolizes that everlasting life is available for everyone. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him," whosoever believes in him, "will not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me put on the screen a few verses about the resurrection on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's put up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 to 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 to 20. I have it there in the New American Standard Bible. And here's what it says. "For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But the fact is," hallelujah, yes, "the fact is," oh, this is a fact. This is the most documented fact in ancient history. This is, you know, this is not something that only the Bible talks about. You go and start studying. This is the most documented fact in ancient history. The fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who are asleep. Listen, if Jesus was still in the tomb, we'd have nothing to celebrate today. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if you read the text, we Christians are the most pitiable people on earth, because we've been running around spreading a false message. We'd have sacrificed our life. We'd have given up a lot of stuff following a dead Jesus. But hallelujah, the fact is, Jesus is resurrected. The one that was crucified on a cross is alive. And my friend, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with that? If a dead man can raise himself, you better listen to him good. Amen. Amen. You had better listen to him good, and you had better get your life in line with this one. He says, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Thank God we have a hope. Amen. Amen. The tomb is empty, and because he lives, everlasting life is available. But you know, notice there's a little part in that thing. It says, "Christ has been raised from the dead." What does it say? The what? The first. Don't be so shy. You know, I don't normally, I'm usually a quiet preacher, but you know, you can talk back to me sometimes. He's what? The what? The first fruits of those who are asleep. asleep. You see, Christ's resurrection is the first fruits. In other words, there is a whole harvest of resurrections to come. Are you with me this morning? There is a harvest coming. This is, he's just the first fruit. There's a harvest coming. And one of these days, every believer in Jesus Christ shall be raised again to live forever with Jesus in heaven. That's, yes, that's where, praise the Lord, amen. John's Gospel chapter 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house are what? Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you might be also. Hallelujah. We are going somewhere. This world is not my home. Amen. This world is not my home. I can hear the singer now. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. Amen. The sweet by and by, we're going to see Jesus. And I can tell you, I can hardly wait. You know, this choir used to sing a face. I just want to see his face. As I was preparing this message, I remember that as a phrase. I just want to see his face. And it's the one that would come back. I just want to see him. Some of you remember that song? I just want to see. And there's, I just want to see his face to thank him for his grace when he comes. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day it's going to be when our Jesus we shall see. When he takes us by the hand and leads us through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day. It's going to be. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I have a hope beyond this life. I'm so glad that the empty tomb has guaranteed me. It has guaranteed me everlasting life. That the resurrected Christ, listen, that he is coming back. And he's going to take me to where he is. And I will live forever with him. Let me ask you, do you have that hope?
Yes.
Yes.
Come on now. Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure that you have everlasting life? Are you sure that you're sure that Jesus Christ lives in you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He lives in our hearts. What have I said so far? I've spoken about the empty cross. The empty cross reminds us that, listen, Jesus has made forgiveness. Forgiveness is available to everyone. The empty tomb symbolizes that everlasting life is available to everyone. And finally, the empty grave clothes. The empty grave clothes. That's the last one. The empty grave clothes. You say, what in the world are you going to have to talk about these empty grave clothes? Well, look with me at verse 3 of John's Gospel, chapter 20. Verse 3, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking into it, saw the linen cloth lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, but not lying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. And the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. The cross was empty, the tomb was empty, but the grave clothes were also empty. Amen. You know, in verse 5-8, the word saw appears three times, and it's very interesting that each time the word saw appears, a different Greek word was used. Very interesting. Each time, a different Greek word was used. In verse number 5, when it says John stooped down and looked into the tomb, he saw the linen cloths. The Greek word used for saw there literally means John glanced into the tomb. But verse 6 tells us that Simon Peter went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths. It's a different saw than John saw. The word saw this time indicates that Simon took a careful look into the tomb. But that's not where I'm parking. I'm parking at the third saw. Because the third time it appears in verse 8, when John went back into the tomb, the Bible says, what does it say? He saw and believed. Resurrection faith had dawned. When he saw this time, it wasn't just like he saw the other times. When he saw this time, resurrection faith dawned. There are some folks here this morning who have, as it were, you have seen before, but you really haven't seen. You saw, but you didn't see. And this morning we are praying that the Spirit of God will break through. And that by the power of the Spirit of God, you may see that Jesus really, who he really is, the resurrected Christ. And like John, you will see and believe. He saw and believed. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9 says, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. No, you're saying that's odd. Jesus told them all. How didn't they know it? They had heard it, but they didn't know it. Some of us are, there's some kids here, adults here. You were raised in Sunday school and church, but somehow the revelation of the risen Christ hasn't broken alive in your heart and in your life. These disciples had tracked with Jesus for all these years, and he had told them all this stuff, but they didn't believe it. But suddenly, John saw and believed. You know, it's very interesting. Unlike Thomas, you remember what Thomas said? Thomas said, unless I see. Some of them want to feel his fingerprint. All John needed was the grave clothes. When John studied the grave clothes, the Spirit of God broke through and he realized Jesus was alive. You say, so what? What did I put as my caption on this? Here's what I put. You can put whatever you want. But here's what I put. The empty grave clothes. Oh, before I get here, let me just say this. Anybody remember something about John? What does the Bible, what does John call himself? John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And poor John, so far for the last few days, he has been mourning the loss of his dear friend, the one he would lean on. But suddenly, John realized the relationship was not over. Amen. John realized the relationship was not over because Jesus was alive. And so I put in my notes, the empty grave clothes symbolizes that a personal relationship with the risen Christ is available to everyone. Amen. Amen. A personal relationship with the risen Christ is available to everyone. And I tell you, this personal relationship, oh, John went through some stuff. John was, unlike the other disciples, he was never crucified. He was never martyred. Oh, they did pour him in hot boiling oil. They did all sorts of stuff to him. They banished him to the Isle of Patmos. But John lived a long life. And during that time, he was able to experience the power of the resurrected Christ. No matter what they did to him, John was faithful to the Lord. And as he writes his epistle, he talks so much about the trials and encouraging Christians to stand strong through trials because he had experienced a personal relationship with the risen Christ. I was only 9 years old when I invited Jesus to come into my life, and that day I started a relationship with him. But I tell you, despite my failings, some of you can identify, we haven't gone straight forward, but God has kept me. And my relationship has grown sweeter and sweeter as the songwriter, as the days go by. As the songwriter says, he lives, Christ, Jesus lives today. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm not talking just because of what the Bible says. Oh, it's important because, yes, it is based on what the Bible says. But I can tell you that Jesus lives because he lives in my heart and in my life. I can tell you he's my comforter. He's my helper. He's my encourager. He's my motivator. Jesus Christ lives. I know he lives because he lives in my heart. Young man, young woman, young fellow. Does Jesus live in your heart? Oh, the resurrected, something dramatic, a miracle can happen today. Because you could say yes to Jesus. You could open your heart and your life and welcome him into your heart. Amen. I close with this story. In 1829, a man named George Wilson robbed and killed a mail carrier in Pennsylvania and was sentenced to death. By the way, this is not a false story. You can look it up. This is one of the very interesting cases in American history. Years later, George Wilson, having killed a man, received a presidential pardon from President Andrew Jackson. But to the shock of the White House, he rejected the presidential pardon. So this case went all the way to United States Supreme Court because the Supreme Court was asked to answer the question, if the President of the United States gives you a pardon, aren't you automatically pardoned? Chief Justice John Marshall rendered the decision of the United States Supreme Court. It simply said, listen good, a pardon rejected is no pardon at all. Unless the pardon is accepted, the pardon cannot be applied. Just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung on a cross. His blood was shed so that you and I can have all our sins forgiven. 3 days later, he rose again. So to guarantee us eternal life, my friend, today he guarantees us a personal relationship. He guarantees us not just that our sins will be forgiven. He guarantees us eternal life. He guarantees us a relationship with him. But it all begins when we accept the pardon. The question is, Jesus has done it all. All you've got to do is to reach out. Sir, all you've got to do, madam, is to reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Thank you for providing pardon. I receive it. Come into my heart and change me today. Are you going to do it? Ha! If you do it, 2,500 years from now, you and I will be rejoicing in the courts of heaven because you would have passed from death to life. It is our prayer. You may reach out to Jesus right now. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God,
I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.